Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today from Practice Web, it's Mike Crook. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
We're doing great. Lovely to have you with us, Mike. There are some people listening that may not have come across you, so just quickly tell us a bit about your background and your areas of expertise.
Yeah, so I'm Mike Crook, the Managing Director of Practice Web. My career began 2001. I was always sort of considered the web guy in the companies that I worked at.
You're a geek, Mike.
A little bit. And the design element, I did graphic design at college. So when I got into companies, a lot of them were like, oh, you're the web guy. You get web. Why don't you do this for us? Helping them to make sense of the web is what I've been doing most of my career. And then helping businesses make sense of digital marketing, websites, apps, but mainly focusing in on the finance sector. So working with brands like HSBC and Hiscorp, Zurich Financial Services, help them communicate with their customers.
So you've been doing it for a while. How has marketing changed over the years, like particularly in professional services?
It's obviously got more complex and more sophisticated. If you went back to Google when it first started, it was a fairly simplistic tool. Now it's got a really strong algorithm. We're all trying to make sense of what that means and how to get the best out of it for our clients. It has become a lot more sophisticated, but at the same time, the nice thing about it is become more measurable and we can see instant results. And that's what I really enjoy about what we do is, for us, marketing is very much test and learn. You put it out, see what it does, doesn't work, do more of the good stuff, take away the bad, try something else, and you can get almost immediate results. So that's what I like about it, but it has become lots of platforms, lots of content. If you think about the buyer in B2B space, for example, it's a lot of information to consume. It can be a bit of a minefield and you can literally find anything on the internet to suit your view. So it's quite difficult for some buyers to make sense of all that. The role of marketing, what we do with our clients, is to help their buyers make sense of the decisions that they're trying to make.
Let's start with the definition of terms. So in the Mike Crook Dictionary of Life and Business, what does marketing actually mean?
Marketing for us is being in the right place at the right time with the right solution, making sure that when the buyer is searching for a particular service, you are in front of mind for them. And essentially, you are the firm of choice. And that comes through being appealing to them, having the proof that you are able to solve their problems, solve their challenges. Because a lot of marketing is about answering questions, demonstrate your firm's expertise and your knowledge, and answer the questions that prospects have so that then they go, this is the firm for me over others.
Can you make a quick distinction, Mike, between marketing and, say, branding?
If you start with your brand, that is what people say about your business when you're not in the room. When you think about brand, you need to think about your expertise, what are you good at, how visible you are in your market, and then what are you known for? So that's your brand. Your branding then becomes more about the identity, how you look, how you feel. Marketing is getting your message out there, answering those questions as we just talked about, content marketing. What can help with the visibility on that brand element is all about getting yourself out there. So being where your customers are. People are trying to Google the answers to things. You think about social media, you can demonstrate your expertise out there, which is great. Doing great content marketing. And also, content marketing can help in the sales funnel as well.
Got that. So on a list of priorities for professional firms like accounting firms, where does marketing rate? Thinking of what they invest in, what they spend in, is it high up? Do they really value it?
Either they know they're needing to do something, or they know they need to do marketing. And they may have never done any marketing at all. So then they're just assessing, what am I going to get for my money? What does some of these terms mean? I don't really understand what SEO is. Should I be doing social media? Advice on where they should be spending money and how they can get started with their marketing. And then the other side of it is firms who already know the value of marketing and they've come along going, I desperately want to grow my firm, grow my business. And I recognize that there is a lot of digital customers out there that I'm missing out on. I want a slice of that. So how do I get in front of them?
So a reason why a firm might not invest in marketing is ignorance. They don't know what marketing does. Would that be one? Or maybe arrogance. We don't need marketing. What are some of the reasons firms don't get it and invest in it?
The biggest thing we come across is we get all my clients through referrals. What we normally talk about is, okay, well, just imagine a startup came to your business and they said, I need some investment. This is my business plan. You start talking through it. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do a great job and then our customers are just going to recommend us to others. Mm-hmm. You know that that's going to fall apart. As an accounting firm, you're going to be like, we need to sit down and think about your marketing. marketing and how you're going to get that route to market. The other thing is if you're comfortable with the volume of referrals that are coming into your business, maybe that's okay. But that also poses a risk that you've only got one route of clients or prospects coming into your business. If you aren't investing in digital, you're going to get left behind by your competitor. The main one is referrals, not really understanding what marketing is and how it can benefit. You can do, or they've tried marketing before and it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
That's another objection that we come across. And that's probably because they may have gone to uncle, auntie, mate down the road and they built a website and then they think they're doing marketing, but actually all they're doing is they've built a site.
Mm.
You know, so they go, oh, I've invested money and it's not worked. A bit like a garden. If you don't keep on top of it, growing and watering it and cutting the grass, it's not going to be what you want it to be.
Yeah. And when we think of some of the big brands in the world, the Coca-Colas, the Nikes, the Apples, they obviously invest millions in their marketing and their branding. Likewise, accounting firms get that they've got to invest something, but often that money's not well spent, is it? How have some firms wasted marketing budget?
So they waste marketing budget when what they haven't really done is sat there and thought about the strategic side of it. I must do marketing, or I've seen my competitors posting stuff, so I need to do this. Whereas actually what they needed to have done is taken a step back and gone, okay, who are my customers? Who am I supposed to be talking to? What am I supposed to be achieving as a business? And then how can marketing drive that for me? Can it achieve the growth that I'm looking for? And then once you've got that understanding, you can then look at how you want to be perceived in the market. Have you got a strong proposition? Can you attract those ideal clients with what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're perceived in the markets? And quite a frustration that I see, and lots of people in the industry say, yeah, you should go and do marketing and come to my social media training course, or I'll tell you how to do content marketing. That's all well and good, providing you've thought about your strategy in the first place, because then you know the reason why you're doing something and how you can measure it.
Yeah, and you're hinting there at the silver bullet approach, where people hire marketers either in staff or they outsource to people like PracticeWeb.
Yep.
They think there's one key way. If they do social media, they'll get loads of business. But it's not like that, is it?
No. So you have to continually look after your marketing. If you have to invest on an ongoing basis, it's not something you dip your toe in. You can start small, but please think about the strategic side of it first before you do that, and then start one thing small. Maybe it is, I'm going to try social media. I think my clients are in this channel, so therefore I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Measure it, see what happens. Once you've got that channel working, spin up another one. You want to partner with a governing body, share content with them and see how that works. So you don't have to go all out if you can't do that. You can start small. For example, search engine optimization can take you 6 months to actually see some real results. So therefore, that isn't a short fix. So yes, you can invest in pay-per-click marketing if you wanted to get to the top of Google pretty quickly, but once you stop paying for it, switched off. So SEO has longer benefits, but it doesn't stop there in that 6 month process, because actually if you stopped in 6 months, you got to top spot in Google, let's say, you stop doing it, somebody else is going to override you because you're not continually building that authority in that space, regularly posting content.
And you're talking about a tactic there, SEO, that needs to be part of a bigger strategy, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, once you've figured out your customers, your goals, your proposition, and how you want to be perceived in the market, then you can start to think about, right, okay, what types of channels do I need to be investing my time in to attract my clients? Another pushback that we've had is that social media is only for kids and personal stuff. I think the nice thing about what lots of firms did during the pandemic, especially the peak of it, is they were doing loads of videos on social media. I'm connected with lots of firms and hadn't really heard from them previously on social media. And overnight, they were doing these amazing videos, these self-help guides and things like that. And it was really helpful for me as running a business, but also it was really nice to see them doing marketing.
Sure. And we're in a very competitive world, Mike. There is a war for attention. So what are firms missing out on by not investing in marketing?
So obviously people do use Google. There are buyers out there looking for solutions. If you're in the business, you will have so much knowledge in your head that you won't recognize that that buyer doesn't have that knowledge and that expertise. So don't assume, but also use that as your way in which to attract those customers, really, Rob. And I think if you are not investing in digital marketing, there's a huge amount of traffic and potential prospects that you're missing out on, essentially. But if you go back to the referral point I made earlier as well, you only know the people who contact you. You don't know those who didn't, but they may have not contacted you because they looked at you digitally. They tried to find out what more about you, or they tried to understand, what is this firm about? Have they solved problems that I have in the past, and have they worked with people like me? And if you can't answer those questions, they're going to go somewhere else. It is incredibly competitive. You're only one click back away from Google, bang back in the search, I'm going to find somebody else. So it's highly competitive market.
And I'm getting the sense from you that you can't just dip your toes into a marketing strategy and then out again. And that must be one of the ways firms get marketing wrong. It's like a quick fix, but it needs to be more longer term.
It does. It needs to have regular time, energy and effort put into it. Sometimes people don't appreciate that level of effort. Maybe they think it's fairly easy to start doing it. But if you are not the type of person who is comfortable writing content or doing videos or being present on social media, that's a challenge in its own right. And it's a skill. Keeping on top of Google's algorithm and things like that takes skill, takes time, takes understanding. And we have those experts to help firms navigate those things so they don't have to worry about it. Communication shouldn't get in the way of them serving their clients. That's our job, to make sure that their marketing is running smoothly. They're able to free up their time then to spend on the higher value work, dealing with clients, dealing with new prospects coming in, all of the good stuff that's going to help drive their business forward. And whilst marketing does help them to do that, why try and take that burden on? It doesn't make sense.
So if firms decide that they need some marketing, they need more of a presence, they want to bring in more clients, how do you help firms understand those benefits, Mike?
Sure. Let's start with firm marketers. If we get people who have marketing teams, we help them to express the value and benefits of marketing, almost do the sell-on internally to departments. The challenge they often encounter is having to demonstrate the value of marketing internally. So our job is often to help them put that business case forward. The fear that they have from a business perspective is the return on investment. If I put this money into this thing, what's it going to actually deliver for me? Marketing can be seen as a bit of a dark art at times. Our job is to demystify that and go, look, here's some case studies to suggest that firms that have been like you in the past, here's where they are now. This is what they did. This is what they received as a result. Our job is to give people benchmarks as well. So how many prospects do you want to come into your firm from marketing over the month? Or how many do you think you can convert? And then you can work backwards in your marketing to go, okay, well, if it's 80%, how many do I need to get on a monthly basis? Therefore, how much does my site need to convert? Great. What's the percentage of that? And then you keep working back up into your outreach so that then you start to look at these measures of conversion rates and then how much traffic you need. Then you've got something tangible to work with rather than it feel it's all fluffy.
And it sounds like your approach is quite scientific and data driven.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you can do digital marketing without. We provide all our clients with dashboards. They don't have to be Google Analytics experts. Our job is to present the data in something that's easy to see and understand. And we give them their buyer journey funnel, their outreach activities, all the SEO, the social media stuff that they're doing, how much traffic is coming to their site, what percentage is converting, and then where are those conversions coming from? So is it a download or is it simply that people are tapping to call you or tapping to email you? All of these things we measure when we're doing marketing so that we know the channels they've come from and how they're converting, because then we can optimize what they're doing. And that's why we're able to confidently talk to partners, firm owners and firm marketers about the results they're going to get, because we measure what we do.
And this has been a problem with marketing in the past, where firms have been called to put an ad in the paper or run a PR campaign. And it's notoriously difficult to track any kind of ROI on that because you don't know who's looking at it, do you?
No, you don't. Interesting, I had somebody contact me the other day for it, and they said it would be great for you to be alongside all these companies and you'll be in this X, Y, and Z. And my immediate reaction was, well, for us, it's accountants. I mean, how many firms are going to be there? What's the shape of those firms? Also, businesses are closed at the moment. You're doing door drop. Those sorts of questions. And that sort of made them feel fairly uncomfortable.
You'd be a nightmare trying to sell PR to them.
Because you've got to make sure that you just do your due diligence before you start spending your money. If it's brand building, maybe that's okay. Throw a few quid at that and just not have the return. But most of the things, you just got to make sure that you're in the right place at the right time to get the result.
So Mike, when we look at the life cycle of a firm that's growing, I guess when they start out a one-person firm, they will rely on referrals, as you said, then they grow. Someone does a bit of marketing part-time in their firm as they take on staff. Then they develop a marketing department. And then some of the big firms have a huge marketing function. So as they grow, to what extent do they do all the marketing themselves or hire someone from the outside? Take us through that life cycle of growth and marketing.
Sure. So from a startup perspective, it's quite information hungry, looking for self-help guides to understand what they can do themselves. We can talk to them about what they need to do, give them the guidance and advice, but they want to do it themselves. And then it takes them a little while to get to the stage where they're employing somebody from a marketing perspective. But perhaps when they're employing other people, it typically is a that founder who then starts to take more of the marketing responsibility on anyway. And then that growth stage where they recognize they can invest. And I think the smart firms invest in marketing early on, even if you hire a marketing professional or sometimes hiring somebody who can support part-time and then helping them to do the day-to-day marketing activity. Because as we said earlier, it's an ongoing thing. It's not something you just dip your toe in over a quarter. And then they start to grow and understand the value of their digital presence. I think you need to be in control of how you're growing, how you're perceived in the market. And if the nice thing about a startup is you have that opportunity to do that. But when you are a more established firm, you get to the point, go, oh, right, okay, now I want to invest in my marketing. Because if you've grown organically, what's the perception of your firm in your market? So then you have to go about changing that perception and working out what you need to do that. But it still comes back to what I said earlier, what's your strategy?
So when firms get to a certain size, Mike, they've got a dedicated marketing function. They would probably argue that there's no need for them to come to someone like PracticeWeb because they've got it all in-house. But from what you're saying, it's quite a complicated thing. And to expect one or two marketing people or even a team to get their heads around all the different disciplines and go as deep as they need to do, surely they're going to need someone like PracticeWeb to help them.
Yep. And that's a conversation that I've had a number of times with marketers and partners and owners. The marketer themselves feels a little bit anxious, I suppose, about engaging somebody like this because they might say, well, the partners think they've invested in marketing by employing me. But all of those experts that we have in a business that you don't have to worry about paying for, you hire your marketing manager because actually what they're doing is they're probably more like a marketing coordinator. They've got to coordinate all the things that your firm needs to do, but actually no one person can be a specialist in everything. So that's why companies like us exist, because we have all those experts they would need to have a solid marketing strategy, solid marketing presence, support them ongoing, but they don't have to pay the price of having all of that team sat within their business. So twofold, really. One is, if you don't have a marketing team, you can absolutely outsource the whole lot to us. If you have a marketing team, yeah, we can work alongside them because we will support them with the skills that they don't have.
One of the challenges that marketers tell me, Mike, is that they're under the pressure of partners trying to drive the agenda, print this brochure, sponsor this event, and they're being more tactical and firefighting, if you like, than more strategic. Do you hear that a bit with your conversations?
I do, but once we have set the strategy, it's a lot easier to have a conversation of why are you doing what you're doing. Yeah. We would have already set that out. If you set that strategy in the first place, that's why I probably labored the point across this podcast today, Rob. It's so important. The business owners want to be able to give people something to execute on. So that's the point. It's a roadmap, isn't it? It's like, here's our marketing activity for the year. Frees up their time not to worry about it, but then they just need the marketer to report back to them and just say, yep, we've done this. It's worked. It hasn't worked. And just manage them like any other employee, which give them the freedom to breathe, to do what they needed to do. And your plan and that roadmap is the way in which you hold them to account. And yes, you can come with ideas. You know, everybody should be contributing to the marketing, shouldn't they? They said, I've spotted an opportunity. If you're talking to your customers all day, and or, you know, if you spot an opportunity or a challenge or a gap, you need to bring that back to the marketing team or your agency and say, how do I solve this problem for our customers through marketing? Yeah. And then pose the question rather than saying, you need to go and do a brochure, tell them what the challenge is and let them solve it.
Yeah. Mike, this has been great. If people want to find out more about what PracticeWeb do, what's a good way for them to reach you?
They can reach me on LinkedIn, but also you can go to practiceweb.co.uk, have a nose around our site, see what we're all about, see some great case studies on there of what we've done with firms in the past and the types of results, and yeah, talk to one of our team.
That's been great. And final question then, Mike, what advice would you give to accountants that want to get more involved in marketing? They want to write some content or do some videos, but they're not in marketing per se. Or maybe to the marketers that want some of the fairness to get more involved and help them create that thought leadership in that content. Because everyone can do it, can't they, in the firm? They can all be marketers.
I think they could all be contributors. They shouldn't be the marketer. There's a skill in being a marketer. Same as what I do. Now, I've got a marketing manager. I write content. I then pass it on to our editorial team to make sure that it's written within our tone of voice. So there's two things. One, you can go and look at our blog where we've got a load of self-help guides, things like write an article under 30 minutes, how to get inspiration for writing content, doing video, those kind of things. And then the other areas are the beginner's guides and our complete guides. If you're new to marketing or you want to understand the benefits of some of these things like search engine optimization or how to use Google Analytics, we've got a load of guides in there for you. And then also the complete guides are things like creating a marketing plan for the first time, creating a marketing strategy for the first time. All of those things are on our site that you can download and start using.
Well, Mike Crook of PracticeWeb, that's been great. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.